It is Friday, the 24th of July, 2015, and this is episode 253 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to the latest sunny episode of Digital Outbox. I'm Chris, hosting as ever, and joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Evening, Chris. I don't know why, but that's such a large number, 253.
Massive.
It is.
It's a ridiculous, life-affirming number. Not as big as Apple's earnings figures, but never mind. They're doing very nice.
They're all ridiculously big.
I love the fact that Apple's have had their biggest quarter since, I don't know, whenever, and their shares dropped 10% or something like that.
Instantly.
It's what do you want?
Microsoft write off like 7 billion. Oh well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that'll do. We'll just, you know, that'll make that. It's unbelievable. Anyway,
Amazon made some profit, and it shot right up. Made like 100 million. It was like, wow, they've made money.
It is bizarre. Humans are weird creatures. So just following on from our story last week about Reddit and all the stuff that was kicking off, the previous leader, Ellen Powell, has powed out. She has stepped down, apparently voluntarily, or, you know, they both agreed. One of the founders, Steve Huffman, has now taken control, citing, you know, say mutual decision to let her go. Again, she suffered from misogynistic wallies online and death threats and all that, which is just such a weird thing, which Steve Huffman said is just totally unacceptable, totally unneeded or unwarranted. So basically that's the follow on. She's gone. So hopefully Reddit will now be able to expand in the way it wants to expand while trying to keep their community of volunteers on board. But they're also hardening their line on groups that they're going to silence or at least make hard to find. So these subreddit groups, so anything that's not super for work, it's not going to show up in search results, things like that. And they are going to outright ban certain of their subreddits.
Yes. And it's unfortunate because at the end of the day, there's people out there that are just horrible. Reddit, if you go in the right places, it's just a cesspit. I mean, it is just not what you want to see.
What you'd normally say is obviously the internet is only reflects society, but I don't think it does. I think it actually brings out some, you know, it can bring out the best in people, but I think it also brings out the worst in a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, there's examples where, and I was going to cite Wikipedia, if you look at how that's formed over the years, it's almost like you're seeing the good of the crowd and all that kind of stuff and keep them maintained. But also you see all these wiki wars that erupt because people will just not agree or they try and vandalize it. And I mean, Reddit, I think it does actually bring, there's some great examples where there's been, you know, inspiring posts on Reddit and there's a massive community there and it's obviously, you know, supporting each other. But then, you know, one of the subreddits is all about raping women and how that hasn't been banned up to now. But again, they've been trying to do this, you know, we are the front page of the internet, we're all about free speech, anything goes. They're claiming that this not safe for work tag that they're going to start applying was always there, but they're just going to be more, you know, they've almost like had the guidelines but never applied it, and they're saying
that these guidelines exist, we're just going to be enforcing them now, whereas before we were less vigilant of that. So
I think unfortunately for Reddit, it's quite tarnished over the last couple of months because of all this, and the problem is I think some of the hard, you know, some of the kind of the problem most ugly users are probably still there, but they might have moved on as well, and I think traffic will start to, you know, to dive slightly.
We'll see. I'm not a Reddit particularly user. I don't consider it the front end to my internet. No. But then again, I do appreciate that a lot of the stuff you end up seeing, say through Facebook, other folk channels or meme sites, starts out at that kind of level.
Yeah. And as I said, I'll follow links to it, but I don't go and surf it. I don't go and get content from it, and I wouldn't try to.
I'm not part of that active forum for sure, no.
Yeah.
High Court rules this week that the data retention surveillance legislation that was passed in such a speedy way last year against the will of a lot of people, is actually unlawful. So the High Court's come out and said that law, that you know, basically pretty much everything that was the argument against it, which is it's unbalanced, it's non-discriminatory, it's offering far too wide powers with very little control. And the court said they've got now till I can't remember the exact date. It's something like 6 months to go and
it's March sort. March 2016.
Okay, so actually it's longer than 6 months to get that's 9 months to get that sorted out. But basically they're saying you can't have that law in its current form, which is pretty much what the two MPs we said last week, they won their gong from the internet service providers, and. Yep, the judge agrees.
So David Davis, Tom Watson, well done.
Congratulations. The other side of the High Court rule, so that's one High Court rule that seems good. We've had another one this week. They've overturned the waiver for you to be able to copy your music onto different devices. So basically a law was passed to say it's all right to rip your CDs onto an MP3 so you can play it on your iPod, basically. That has been repealed, or a court has deemed that law legal, based on a musicians union who basically said don't like that.
Yeah, and I mean the court, I mean this is so Joe Dipple is the CEO of UK Music. Last month, the High Court agreed with us that government acted unlawfully when it introduced an exception to copyright for private copying without fair compensation.
Which is fine, but the step previous to that was that there was never any action taken anyway. No. So it was like there was a law there that was unenforceable and wasn't being enforced. Now they've got it back, so we're kind of back in status quo land again.
Yeah, and at the end of
especially
the day,
if you rip a status quo CD.
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, and the thing is that they're arguing over all the kind of physical media that are. I mean, it just feels like we're arguing about last decade, not yes. How we, you know, and it's kind of, there's a whole load of debate about Apple Music right now and streaming, and times have changed, you know. It's an argument for a previous decade.
That's never stopped anyone before, though, has it?
No, and I guess there's some principles there, but at the end of the day, see if I buy a DVD or a Blu-ray or a CD, that's my media.
That's the thing. It's not It's not. You've got a piece of plastic with a licensed piece of content on it, but that's not how you see it. But that is in effect what legally it is.
I know, but legally that has to change.
Yeah, and it did change, and now it's been changed back.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Universal has got a bit of egg on their face. They've sent out their normal massive numbers of takedown notices. For all the kind of seeded versions of Jurassic Park. And amongst those requests was a request to block a local address. So basically someone was sharing that content internally on their network, it appears.
Oopsie.
Yeah, whoops. Egg on your face.
Says them right.
I think it's been known for a number of years, actually, that they do often share out content from... They'll seed from their own networks to try and catch people who... consuming it.
There was the two sides of it. There was the catching people, but also that kind of we'll seed things out that are maybe, you know, not got a lot of buzz, or, you know,
yes,
we'll put out one without effects to say this is actually a really good film, and where did that come from? You know, and yeah. You get the kind of the odd TV series where it's like the first four episodes have mysteriously appeared online
just after it flopped.
Yeah, interesting.
Apparently, there are these things called infidelity sites, of which Ashley Madison is one, which is purely there designed to link up people who want to have affairs with each other, basically. Now, it turns out that some of internet hackers have been a bit outraged by this and have demanded that, or rather they've hacked the site and are holding it to ransom or they're going to release all the information. Basically.
So their main, and I've got to be honest, and I know it sounds like, yeah, right, when I'm going to say this, but I had no idea.
I'm sure we've talked about it once before, but it was a long time ago.
Well, so the parent company is called Avid Life Media, and the three sites that were hacked was Ashley Madison, where you see them, like, you know, if you want to have enough. So the tagline, life is short, have an affair.
That's not even funny.
But they also had two other dating sites, Cougar Life and Established Men, which is just... but the hacker's main bone of contention wasn't the kind of the principles behind signing up to this. It was the fact that if you signed up, it was fine, but if you wanted to remove yourself, then you had to pay them £15.
Which it sounds very much like fucking. Whoops. So, yeah, it sounds like.
I ain't editing that out.
Okay. It sounds, you know, it's holding someone to hostage, isn't it? Saying it is. Your information is stuck on this pretty grotty site that certainly we could use this information against you, and the only way you can get rid of it is by paying.
Yep. So the hackers have seemingly got all the information, and the kind of day after that this all came out, the web company then said, actually, see this £15, we'll waive it so you can delete your data. The data's gone.
Yes, the data's already been released, it is already out there. But yes, they have now changed their mind on that fee. But there are also allegations that even people who had paid, their information was still stuck in the system. So
of course, you know, it is. What's that whole thing about Snapchat? And it's, of course, it's, yeah, of course nobody else can see this.
You know, a lot of these systems is impossible. You can anonymize data, but very rarely does it actually. Because you can't just extract it all and leave the system intact.
And people have backups, and backups are sitting elsewhere, and they're on tapes, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Anyway, so if you were on the that site for whatever reason, then your information's gone. Thank you. Apple Pay has come to the UK. Ooh. Reminds. So you've used it already?
Yeah.
There you go. How was it? Was it beep-tastic?
It was. It's very easy to set up. So the morning it came out, I can't remember, was it July? Was it last week? It's in there as July 14th in the article title, so that's probably it. So a week last Tuesday or something. Dead easy to set up because it kind of all kicked in early in the morning. And you.
How does it set up? So you've got your phone. You go into an Apple Pay.
So you get an email.
You hook it up to your own bank. How does it work?
Yeah. So only certain banks support it. And Santander was one of them. And they emailed me and said it's all coming. And then on the Tuesday morning, Apple sent you a mail and said, you know, Apple Pay is available. You know, you set up if you're one of these bank cards. Mm-hmm. You fire up Passbook. There was an Apple Pay slot. You went in there. You clicked add. It then said. Take a picture of your credit card. So you kind of hover.
So it gets
over.
All the information from it. Yeah.
It took it. So instead of having to type all the numbers in, it got it all from there. And then it did a little bit of checking. And then it says, how do you want to verify this with Santander? Do you want a text message or do you want to phone them? So it's text message. They sent you a code. You put the code in. Done.
Okay. And then it's hooked up and it's just like using your contactless credit card then.
Yeah.
Is it,
so yeah? It's the same limits at the moment for contactless, apart from a certain vendors have said, actually, do as much as you like. So I think there's a couple of restaurants down in London that have said,
we'll take the risk on this.
Yep. I think M&S is a bit higher as well, but nobody
they have
knows.
To be, otherwise you can't afford anything.
Yep. And I think Waitrose might be doing something a bit higher. September it goes to 30. Interestingly, I did two cards on the phone, and then I was like, I've got to add it to the watch, and I thought it would just appear, and it didn't. You have to add it to the watch again, so it's a separate process. Mm-hmm. And it works. I've actually not used the phone. I've just used
what
the
do you
watch.
Think to it having a higher limit than 20 quid then? Because obviously if someone does grab your phone, how do you verify? So once you flipped
the phone,
it against
the
machine.
The phone needs my fingerprint.
So it needs it. Okay. So it's actually harder than if you lose a credit card.
Yeah. Because if somebody at work was like, so insecure, I can't believe you're doing it. And it's like, but you could dip my wallet right now, take the contactless card and go and spend 20 quid. And he was like, oh, I wouldn't like that. I says, but it's the way things are going.
It's the same thing, yeah.
Okay. I says, and instead of worrying about it, I says, so I could leave the card at home if I knew I was just buying, you know, 10 and 20 pounds and have the phone and the fingerprint. What about the watch? I says, well, if you take the watch off my wrist, you need to put my PIN code in. I says, so it's not a fingerprint, but you still need to know that PIN code. So I'm fine.
You're fairly comfortable with it.
Okay. I don't see the big deal. I was surprised at the reaction from people saying, oh, I don't want money in the phone. It's like, so you go to Kenya and it's like, you know, 50% of transactions are done, you know, via text messaging and phones. It's a normal thing. You go to South Korea, it's normal.
And I think it will become normal quite quickly. I mean, even contactless, I see, you know, older people using that all the time nowadays. Just
like,
it's easier than easier than typing in the number, basically.
Yeah.
And a fair old wide selection of people already accepting it, and most banks seem to be on the, you know, selecting it. I think Barclays is probably the biggest omission there at the moment.
Barclays was an omission, but on the day it launched, they said it's coming later this year. So up until
they're just sorting out final details.
We'll decide later. HSBC was a funny one. There was a tweet came out on the Monday night saying, "Yep, we're just about to launch," and it was on. If you look at the Apple Pay website,
yes,
in the UK,
they had the graphic there. Yeah.
They used the graphic of the card. Mm-hmm. They said they were one of the launch partners Tuesday morning. We're not there. We'll be there later in July. So whether they had some technical issues, I don't know. But I've used it a couple of times now, and it works fine. I'm down in London next week, so I'll probably be able to use it at the airports and stuff, and check in with my watch. It's like the future.
Hopefully, your gate will be delayed, and then everything will be this perfect scenario.
How fantastic would that be? I'll film it if it is.
Apple have be released a new version of the iPod Touch. This is a while since 2012 since they last refreshed this, but they've basically brought it in line with their other other products. So there's a bit more power, camera on it, and a bit more oomph. So yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, and the actual hardware update is actually really good. You know, so it's basically the same as the iPhone 6, apart from the smaller screen, you know. So that's the chipset. It does all your it's got the motion, you know, the M processor in it, so it does all your tracking as well. So it's actually a really good
I think
update.
One of the reasons they're so reluctant to update it, not only is it sort of just that, you know, their lower end thing, it's been more around a kids sort of thing, but also iPod docks and things like that, that's a much more a heavier investment. So if you invest in a nice Bose system that's got an iPhone dock or iPod dock on it, it's a bit galling if they keep releasing them year after year.
I think also there was a bit of, if we keep updating it and it's the same as a phone, are we cannibalizing the phone? Mm. How many people are buying a new phone and they hardly use
because
the phone?
Because they have to do the phone rather than,
How many times do people use phone? There's a lot of people that just say, I use it 3-4 times a month. You know, it's just not that often. It's more about data. It's more about, everything else.
Agreed.
But it's actually a nice update because I hadn't touched it for a couple of years. So I think there was lots of rumours that it was going to be updated, but the actual processor and the specs were good.
And the Shuffle and the Nano as well has had just a colour update, basically.
Yeah, and if the software on it looks terrible because it still looks like iOS, you know, 5 or 6. It's all that shiny, you know, like old style. So it's like...
I quite like that, though.
I know, but it...
Prefer it.
It does look...
It's amazing how quickly it dates.
It dates just because everything else has changed and all the apps have changed. Yeah. You know, it's just that one of these things, it's like, just gold.
Yeah. Another death knell for Adobe Flash. Firefox is now not allowing the Adobe Flash plugin to work in its browser, citing the fact that they haven't released patches for known and exploitable flaws in the software that they have not fixed. So... there you go, another nail in the coffin, I think.
Yep, and Facebook, their chief security officer, try to find his name, Alex Stamos, he's called on Adobe to announce an end-of-life date for Flash. So when you start to see some of the big, you know, players like that saying, you know, come on, this is the finish.
I think the reason it's held on so long is that HTML5 video has proved a little bit glitchy.
It has.
It's not smooth. It doesn't pick up streaming always.
And there's
scrubbing doesn't work as well. Things like that.
And there's no standard across the browsers. So you've got is it?
You have to release in about three different formats to get everywhere.
So Chrome doesn't support certain things that others do. And I think Google, what was it? Was it the Web?
WebM.
WebM, yeah. That was it. Yeah. But hardly any of their videos are in that format.
Yeah, no,
a mess, actually.
But I think the way to sort that mess out is to get rid of the player that kind of covers up those messes, but it does it in its own messy way.
And Twitch, I think just yesterday, said that's moved over from Flash to HTML5.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some, you know, that's a big site to move over.
The sooner people get stuck into HTML5, hopefully all those aforementioned scrubbing and pausing and problems that they have at the moment, they'll sort out.
So BBC, get with it. BBC is still Flash.
Do they? If you don't have Flash, though, doesn't it back down to
it's rubbish. So on Safari, it turns around and says you've not got a Flash plugin. Mm-hmm. So I go to my develop menu, go to user agent, change it to iPad, the page looks exactly the same, and it gives me the bloody video that plays. So get with it, BBC. It's not that hard. Oh, it's any dead ranty there.
Ofcom threatening to split BT and Openreach. So already we have regulation around their Openreach. So Openreach is the company which specifically looks after the fibre network for the broadband system in the UK, the ADSL broadband system. So they've already, it's still firmly part, it is BT Openreach, but they have requirements to treat their own BT customers exactly the same as all the other providers. So that's how they kind of, even though it is BT, there's no benefit to BT when they're doing things like installations and stuff like that. But Ofcom are kind of saying they're going to look at the possibility of splitting these two out into two separate companies so that there's potentially more competition going on.
And I think there's a case to answer that. I mean, Sky were very vocal about just how they think they're in, you know, compared to, you know, when BT are offering a broadband service and Sky are offering a broadband service that Openreach should be, you know, installing. They reckon they're getting a poorer service.
And I'm sure that there's a lot of scrutiny around that, and Ofcom have proved in the past that they're not very good at actually doing the investigations and whatever. All I do know is that Openreach do tend to have quite a bad reputation. In yes. You certainly hear some, if you're in their key areas, as in if you're in an easy area, it's no problem. If you're already on an exchange that they just have to plug a next thing in, it's when you're a bit more complicated, there's certainly a lot less readiness to deal with your case.
I'm always surprised that, and I guess I follow lots of kind of tech type people on Twitter, the amount of people that complain that third Openreach appointment and they don't turn up.
Yeah, just exactly really the same. And I think that it's one of those things where for the majority of people, it's not an issue because it's very, very easy for them to do. But I think as soon as you've got a complex case, none of their engineers, and I think a lot of them are outsourced engineers. I don't think they're all, I think they're freelance that work on behalf of Openreach and things like that. I don't think they're keen to take on the jobs because they don't get the money out of it.
Yeah.
Because all the extra complication eats into their time and their profitability. So I think that's probably what we're seeing. There you go.
I'm glad you said profitability.
Some sad news. Satoru Iwata, he was Mr. Nintendo, basically. But basically he has now died of cancer. And it was a very sad day. He was the kind of person that pushed through the Wii, and he pushed through the Nintendo DS. So probably Nintendo's most profitable region. So he's fondly looked at, and unfortunately he's passed away.
And a bit like, so his name probably wasn't as well known, but a bit of a Steve Jobs character in Nintendo. So he started off young in the company. You know, his idea of fun was helping, you know, troubleshoot game problems even when he was CEO, you know, so he was still missed that kind of hands-on engineering type role. And it is quite a loss for that company, you know, in the same way that Jobs was. And it's, I think the thing was Apple, although they were quite private, I think publicly everybody knew what was happening with Steve Jobs. And there was, you know, obviously, you know, there was Tim Cook and there was others in the sidelines and things were getting done. I'm sure Nintendo have probably been the same. Some of the folk are following Twitter, some of the kind of game, you know, correspondents or those that understand it more. They knew, you know, he wasn't at the last couple of shows. He was joking how he had a new, you know, me character because he's lost a lot of weight and it was a lot thinner. But, you know, it's almost like with hindsight, it's like, you know, it's a shame. So yeah,
it's a shame for that company.
Yeah,
and it's probably not come at a very good time.
I feel guilty. I must see every time we slag Nintendo off, we have a chuckle. SNES.
You still love Nintendo? Yeah.
The games were so good, you know, and they still. I'm saying they still are so good, but they're so that it's like they're just like small nuggets. But then, if I look harshly at a PS4 and an Xbox, how many of these great gaming experiences are we getting now?
No, they've all become much of a muchness, aren't they?
Rocket League is just the best thing ever.
You all seem to have fallen in love.
Oh, honestly, it is like buy a PS4, Chris, just for that.
Wow. Yeah. So Sony, PlayStation Now is streaming services out as a beta service in the UK. So they've got some titles available for rent. from 48 hours up to a month you can rent the game for. And this is all their streaming service, so PS3 titles, basically.
Yes. I still don't know quite what to think of this. So it's like Uncharted 2 and Last of Us and God of War and Bioshock Infinite. So some fantastic titles, but 48 hours for £3 and £8 for a month, it feels a bit.
I'm sure it'd be intriguing enough to try it out, but the problem is that also you forget how far back in time PlayStation 3 visuals are now. Yeah. Things take leaps on and your eyes get very used to it very quickly. As soon as you go back, it does look a bit ugly. I've not heard any sort of stories about whether this is a good streaming service or a bad one, really. So I don't know the ins and outs. I guess we'll hear that going forward.
Yeah, I've seen some reviews that say it's fine to good, and I think mm-hmm. a lot of it is depending on how much bandwidth you've got available. If you're still sitting on a 2 meg broadband connection, I think you are struggling.
Yeah, okay. And I have to say, it seems like broadband has, a lot of people do have the available bandwidth to do things like this now. So I'm sure we'll get a lot of use. But like you say, whether $2.99, I mean, I guess $2.99 is not a lot if you just want to try a game. That's the thing. It's cheaper and quicker than actually sitting and downloading a demo, which will, take you longer.
Yeah, so if you do it from your own, how much time have you eaten up? And also, it's no different to, they're obviously trying to pitch an alternative to the £40-£50 games and say, here's some classic, great games.
Yes.
You might not have tried them. And it's like hiring a DVD or, watching a stream.
It's like the old, swap game service that used, GameSwap, whatever it was called.
Yeah, or your Blockbusters and stuff.
Yeah, sure. Before they all died. Electronic Sports League are going to be having to bring in anti-doping policies. There's some interviews earlier this week with some big sort of gaming, professional gamers, if you like, and they're saying they're all at it. They're all on these performance and attention drugs to try and keep themselves on the ball. And I think, rightly, the organisers of these big events are going to have to start stamping down on it to keep their respectable face forward, really.
Yes. And in some ways, it was it's so disappointing to read, because there's all this stuff right now with, athletics, so there's a big meet in London tonight and everybody's talking about, the couple of big dopers that are setting 100-metre fastest time in the world this year. You get Chris Froome, who seemingly nobody believes that he's not taking drugs. It's just... and they're all saying, there was another one today that they reckon, by the rough estimates of the kind of doping athletic professionals, they reckon there's at least 10% of current athletes are doping. But they're ahead of what the federations can actually catch right now. And I guess, with hindsight, maybe this is obvious that they were probably on something,
I think everyone had joked about it. I think it was just these conversations and the interviews that happened kind of suggested it was much more widespread and far more the norm than anyone had thought.
Because I remember seeing stuff like how much Red Bull he's taking, because you see them all wide-eyed and be like, I'm wired.
And do you want to stop someone drinking Red Bull? No, I guess you don't. But again, it's equally the same kind of concept, really. Where do you draw that line?
But it's kind of just one of these kind of disappointing things. It's like, but with gaming, as we have suffered, if somebody can find an edge, somebody can find some way of cheating, they'll do it.
Yeah, but then they're going to bring in WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, who are the kind of, they're the ones that kind of control all that kind of cycling and athletics, and you are coming on top of it. It's going to be an interesting mix of what's the cultures, I guess, is the way, because gaming culture as well is... It can be seen as pretty, pretty dopey, I guess. Whether the two can match, it's going to be hard.
There's still that because obviously it's called esports, and there's still so many people say this isn't a sport. I ain't going to watch it. There's no sport, but it depends how you define sport.
There's plenty of things that don't necessarily lead to physical exertion that can still be considered classed as sports. So
yes. Absolutely.
And there's a great deal of skill in it, as you can only find out by coming up against these people who are genuinely extremely good at what they do.
Absolutely. And that's one of the nice things about, I've mentioned again, Rocket League, that although you can customize everything, it doesn't change your vehicle. as in it doesn't make it faster, it doesn't make it...
So you know it's you against someone who's better than you or,
it's a,
or not.
It's a skill-based game. And I think the developers have now got a fine... They've got a fine line to tread on how to monetize and at the same time keep everybody interested, but don't make it that I can go and buy a car that is slightly better and, you know, has a, you know, I don't know, some sort of better, can give me better angles or give me a more, you know, bounce off it or something. At the moment, it's purely skill-based and we knows it because we get pwned last night.
Picks. You've got a pick today.
I've got a pick for the Mac, Affinity Photo. So this is from Serif. I maybe had mentioned that it was about to come out or it had come out. I think when I bought it, it was £30. I think it's now up at £40. Mm-hmm. And it really is a Photoshop replacement.
Yes, I remember you mentioning this now. Yeah, so and you're happy with it?
It's for the things I need to do. You know, so I use Lightroom. I don't have Photoshop, but every so often Lightroom, it lets you do lots of retouches and lets you do a lot to it, but you want to do other things. And even with my rubbish skills, it was like, this is great. I preferred it to, what was the other one that I used to always class as the best replacement, Pixelmator, which is really good, but it's so fast. You know, it's almost been like it's like a fresh, brand new, you know, tool. It's not got a lot of legacy things to have to support, so it's really, really nice.
And it sort of does the things you want to do quickly and efficiently.
And £30-40 for the level of the amount of things you can do, the amount of tools that it's got, it's just great. So yeah, really, really nice. And I've written down fast modern app, and it feels it when you launch it. It looks great. You launch it and it supports RAW, and its own format. You can swap between it and the other Affinity products as well. So they really have they have got a really good strategy in the two apps I've got out, and there's another one coming out for more like desktop publishing type. They just look.
Who knew? Focused apps that do one thing very, very well.
Exactly, because everybody's
so much bump for going these massive software suites that you use 5% of them.
And don't get me wrong, this is massive. When you go on the website and look at what it can do, it's got everything. You know, it's like, so all the kind of warp stuff you can do within Photoshop, and you know, it's got all that kind of stuff. It supports all the plugins, and I'm sure it can save out to Photoshop format and back and forward. So
sometimes just having that fresh start means that they can re-engineer to a new way of doing things.
And it's also nice to actually get a, it's kind of, because lots of people have been saying, oh, there's not, you know, the apps have died on Mac and PC and there's nothing fresh there. And it's like, no, this is really, really nice.
That's Affinity Photo, £40 for your Mac. Yeah. Available in the Mac App Store, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Should I mention I got a GoPro session?
Oh, you're the man.
Yeah, so I succumbed. Unfortunately, I succumbed just at a time when actually I could have done with saving the cash, but never mind. Didn't know that at the time. But yeah, so my latest video, my racing video, was actually from a GoPro session. Now, the YouTube video I put up doesn't actually do it justice. It actually pops more on the actual raw footage, but I had to edit it all down, and I didn't do a good job.
But it did look... So I thought the video was better, but I just thought it was it the track, was it smoother? It just looked
no, it's just because it's a smaller object, so it's easier to keep solid. I've slightly adjusted how it's held, so it's just as a smaller object, it doesn't subject to the same kind of vibrations that you get.
Oh, it looked great. And I was just one thing I was going to say, I was reading today that remember there was that kind of war over doing the live streaming, Meerkat came out first, and then I hate it. I can't say Meerkat without making it like the advert. It's like
Simpins.
Meerkat.
But Alexander.
Yeah, so there was Meerkat and there was the one that Twitter bought that I can't, Periscope.
Yes.
But Meerkat announced yesterday that they've got a tie up with GoPro so you can stream live.
Okay. But I'd still need to put my phone somewhere then. There we go. We'll see whether that can happen. I don't know whether it'll be with a session. I think you probably need the black to do it. So the review of it, I haven't really played with its full features. I've just used it sort of once at the meeting. I love how easy it is. It's a one button thing. The sound suffers massively because it doesn't have any sort of casing around it. And when you're driving along, it's too much wind for it to cope with. So the sound on my video is not from the GoPro. The itself, it's just wind noise. But the one touch startup, the size of it is brilliant. I love how tiny it is. It lasts well, and the video actually is great quality. its normal kind of massively wide angled camera. And you know, for what I need, which is to have a high def video, I think it's actually spot on. But it does cost a lot for what is in effect an inferior product.
But that's good to know, because I am starting to look at drones again. And
I'm sure for drones, it's brilliant because of the size compared to even the Black. But if you want that ultimate quality, you've still got to go with the Black. It does, the Black comes with more, it's less fuzzy, as it's so.
Yeah, but also I think
it picks out more details. It picks out more contrast, all those kind of things. Again, in the situations that I'm in, that's not so important, because the speed you're traveling and the contrast I don't need to pick out that highs and lows kind of thing.
And I've been trying Shaq. So I think Shaq picked up, sure he picked up the Black, and he got it sort of tail end of last year. And he's now got a bike, and he was out cycling today, and he's got all his chest harness set up. So he was going to, because he had strapped it on the handlebars, and because you turn, it was a bit too.
Was he heading? Yeah.
Yeah, but the quality of the video was great. You know, just without, and he wasn't really doing anything. Although he had it all chopped up, and it was a bit of a mess. It was like, well, whatever. But no, that's good. That's good to know.
So and say for the sheer size of it alone is just unbelievable.
Is that about 350?
329, I think, recommend. I'm pretty sure it'll come down fairly quickly. I'm also pretty sure that if you can hang on, I reckon that the second model of this will be, you know, it's always the case. The incarnation is definitely better to wait for. So I don't see that as being that far down the line. They also tend to release a new sort of software release and ROM release for it. So I think give it 6 months, I think it'll come down in price, and actually will be a pretty surefire bet.
Good pick.
That's just an expensive pick. That'll do. We're straying towards how long you said this was going to take. digitaloutbox.com is our website. If you want to find out more about us, info@digitaloutbox.com. If you want to email us, and we're on Twitter as digitaloutbox. I am on Twitter as cheesyuk. You can read all about my racing on academyracer.co.uk. You can obviously see the hero session videos on that site as well. Where can we find you, Ian?
Blog is iandy.net, and I'm on Twitter as Shweepa.
There we go. Lovely. We shall speak to you again next week. Goodbye.
No, we won't. 2 weeks. Oh. Goodbye.
2 weeks. Bye.
I think it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not here next week.
You're away, and I'm away. Yeah.
I could do podcasts from New York.
Hey, the transatlantic.
Yeah. Maybe it's not going to happen.
Maybe you could podcast from the plane.
No.